Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Modern Superior.
Hello, welcome to episode 303 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. My name is Dan Gorman. Here's good news for Homer Simpsoy. I'll see that he gets it.
My name is Casey Lyons, and, well, it did sound like one of Mom's Chardonnay farts.
My name is Greg LeGros. Hey, isti mundus feri abundus. Oops, I forgot. You don't speak Latin.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us won the die roll and got to see whatever we wanted in film roulette while somebody stayed and
fucked themselves.
Yeah.
Oh no, went to the theater.
Went to the theater
themselves.
And saw 50 Shades Freed. We have a Punishment album to talk about. We will talk about all of that in Film Roulette. We will talk about movie news and movies that we have been watching through the week in our opening segment. But before any of that, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Tell us what you think of the show, requests, thoughts, anything. Rate and review us on iTunes, please. Go to modernsuperior.com, listen to all of the other shows on the network. When you're there, hit the Patreon button and donate some money, and you can get into the Slack and access to bonus episodes and more. And we are also available on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. Speaking of Patreon, we had a new donor, Carlo, a friend of mine. Thank you for the donation.
A friend of ours. Sure.
All of ours.
Hey, Carlo, thank you for being friends with Dan.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah. We appreciate
somebody
it.
Somebody needed to.
Yeah. You know, you took one for the team, yeah. You bit the bullet,
and
you were
was
like,
a friend
fine, I'll be friends with this.
Yeah.
And you really came through.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
No, it's Valentine's Day.
It sounds like we might have a little love connection.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. All right.
So, the Itty Bitty Tidbit Committee, a.k.a. New news, things we've been watching in movie news.
Yeah.
I saved a bunch of news here. Uh-huh. It's the
You were a fucking news-saving machine.
Yeah, I know.
You were like a machine built to save news.
To save news into an app.
Yeah.
Let's go through the news. That was like those news things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I knew what you were doing.
We're looking at a reboot. You love those reboots, right? You love those old things turned new.
The only thing I love more than boots is reboots.
Yeah. House Party, you remember that?
No.
Kid and Play.
Wait, what?
Kid and Play?
Oh, yeah. Definitely make House Play without Kid and Play.
House Play?
Who said it's without Kid and Play?
House Play?
Yeah.
Well, here you go. LeBron James is going to be producing a reboot.
That got really weird and then less weird.
Yeah. Now, here's where it gets even better, if this article that I have is a good one. It is being written by Stephen Glover and Jamal Alouri, who worked on Atlanta, were writers for Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if Stephen Glover has anything to do with Donald Glover.
Yes. So they were, I believe, writers of the whole series Atlanta, and I fucking loved that show.
Yeah.
And when I read this news, I was like, pretty much the only way you could have gotten me on board for any kind of a reboot of this series would be to say people that did Atlanta are doing it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but that still begs the question, why would you make this movie without
Kid and Play? Yeah, yeah. Is someone going to have that hairdo? Because that's half the reason I watched.
Yeah.
That's 90% of the reason it was made.
Also,
that's 100% of the reason Kid and Play was
really
popular.
Good hairdo.
Yeah. It's really good.
And that kicky dance they do? Oh, man.
Oh, it's a good kicky dance.
It's a good kicky dance.
Yeah.
Friends of the show and twin brothers, Mark and Scott Riley, do a fine rendition of the kicky dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's eerie.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Nice.
I bet they can still do it.
Yeah.
So I watched Class Act recently, which is like not necessarily a house party, but it was kind of a spinoff with Kid and Play, kind of in the same series.
Okay.
It's in the universe.
It's in the
are they like looking, are they on the poster, are they like looking over the shoulders, over their desks at you like, whoa, we're in class.
I wish. I think it's just like the hair and the guy's back of his head and stuff. That movie is so sexist and so homophobic,
yeah.
And that was one of the things when I saw this news where I was like, they're going to have to do some updating to this thing, where you won't be able to have a running gag about how a dad is deathly afraid his son might be gay.
Oh my God.
And is very relieved, comically so, when it finds out that he's not. Phew!
Woo! Crisis averted.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. His hair is extra big in the poster.
Yeah,
and
really
wrote
big.
The name of the movie on the back of his head.
Oh, I remember that.
Absolutely.
It's really big.
It is real. I bet it's not that big in the movie.
No.
There's no way.
No way.
No. Does he still have hair like that? Is that still his thing?
I don't know, maybe.
If he went bald, that's got to be like
right
a cruel
off.
Thing.
Yeah, and did he at least, if he cut it off, did he at least keep it? Did he cut it off
like
straight
like
across?
Really? Like leave it on a desk or something?
Yeah. In class.
Why did he leave it
why
on a desk?
Why would he keep it?
Look, we're getting into a weird area.
When they finished the movie, he cut it off and left it on a desk. And then the teacher came in and said,
what
a
desk.
Class act.
Yeah. This guy's a real class act.
B+.
Yeah.
I'm keeping his hair.
Yeah. So that's a thing that's happening.
Listen.
Does it need to happen?
Yes.
Here's another thing that might need to happen.
Yeah.
Or not. Do you guys think we've about covered enough of the Willy Wonka world on film, or are you ready for round a million?
Well, I don't know how you top the perfection.
Is it Willy Wonka as a little boy?
Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
He likes chocolate.
Yeah. Willy Wonka origins. Well,
by the makers of Leatherface.
Yeah. In more, don't do that, and then you see a name and you go, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
The person attached to the new Willy Wonka property is Paul King of Paddington and Paddington 2. Which is like, hey, maybe.
Still haven't seen Paddington
2. And what are we doing with the Wonka world?
You are kind of correct.
Yeah.
The report stated that Willy Wonka would tell the story of the early adventures of the King of Sweets.
There you go. Yeah, I'm all right.
Willy Wonka.
Secrets.
Yes.
Secrets and lies. Yes.
And the screenplay will be penned by Man Seeking Woman series creator Simon Rich, who also contributed material to Inside
Out. I don't know who
Inside
or
Out.
What those things are.
I believe Man Seeking Woman is the show with
Wasn't
Jay Baruchel,
on
and apparently
that
that's a phenomenal show.
They make that here in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah. So that's like another one of these two properties where you're like, I don't need these, but I wouldn't hate seeing what he would do with it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
Do I need these? No. Will I watch them? Yes.
Well, I'm a hard maybe.
Yeah, it's really got to fall in my lap.
Yeah. Here's a we're going down this news of things that I don't want necessarily.
Yeah.
And Michael Fassbender is set to star in a Kung Fury sequel to the short film.
And this is why I think we had some conversation about who's like top flight actor in your eyes can do yeah. no wrong. I think Matt Fassbender's up there because he can do this too.
Yeah.
He does dramatic work that is fine and probably Oscar worthy at some point. I think he's been nominated before, probably will be again. Yeah. Absolutely. But he also does crazy shit like this.
Yeah.
He'll do Assassin's Creed and X-Men movies and stuff, which I totally appreciate from him. So the fact that they're making it a full-length feature, probably not necessary. The fact yeah. that he's doing it, I'm like, A+.
Yeah.
I never saw it because I did not need any more... winking kitsch shoved down my throat.
It had elements that I enjoyed because it was so cuckoo bananas. It yeah. was like the colors, like the look of it yeah. was, because it was more like a video game coming yeah. alive than a, yeah. than really like than an 80s movie you've ever seen.
And it wasn't pretending to be like, I'm going to be an 80s. It's just like, I'm going to be the Tim and Eric insane version of yes. that thing. And yeah. there are things in it
visually that are fucking yeah. terrific.
Or like, oh, like, the kind of ridiculous stuff where like a T-Rex shows up or something and I'm yeah. like, oh, I'll laugh at a little dinosaur yeah, showing up. I don't yeah, give yeah. a shit.
I mean,
Dan, I'm going to make sure that goes on your tombstone.
Yeah, I'll laugh at a dinosaur. I don't give a shit.
Dan Gorman.
But he would laugh at a dinosaur. Yeah.
He didn't give a yeah. shit. And then he died.
But I also, yeah.
He died laughing at a dinosaur.
The dinosaur did not like that he was laughing.
Be laughed yeah, at.
Dinosaur gave a shit.
Self-conscious yeah. dinosaur.
Can the dinosaur be buried next to me that said he gave a shit when he eventually dies?
We'll get yeah. adjoining plots.
Yeah. But I also think this Kung Fury, this short film, felt like a million years long and it was only a half hour.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of like, this will not sustain an hour.
Absolutely
and a half.
Not. You can't do this for that long.
No. You either got to dial it back and try and do something a little bit more like, well, now we have to sustain this for a movie, so there needs to be a plot, and like, let's figure out how to do that, or just don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's apparently happening.
I don't know. Maybe yeah. there's a way. I haven't seen it yet, though. These things don't work.
No, no.
And
like,
no.
Here's the thing. So in with a movie that I will talk about briefly later, there's been a lot of movies being pulled for Netflix instead of going to theaters, and I'm like, this can't be a theatrical thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, if there's not, you know, like audiences for things like Annihilation, or there's yeah. been a bunch of like pretty like mainstream movies being like, this might not fly, we better take it to Netflix. I'm like, this probably won't fly. Then this has to be a Netflix thing.
What, the Kung Fury?
Yeah, like
oh,
that's not something. That's,
I don't see that going to the big screen.
No. So,
I'm not going to take it that seriously. Seriously enough to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not getting a babysitter for
no.
Kung Fury.
Yeah. Seriously. So speaking of Annihilation, director Alex Garland is interested in directing a Swamp Thing movie.
Yes.
For DC.
Now this
is some news.
Is very interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Well, I can't remember if it was you or somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't you.
Right.
Let's narrow it down.
That talked about there was an era of Swamp Thing that Alan Moore wrote.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
a possibility?
Absolutely.
Is that something I'm hearing
yeah,
about?
Listen, Swamp Thing comics are quite heady.
Yeah.
And funny and dark and interesting and really Swamp Thing kind of did a little bit of, not in the exact same way, but I would compare them to like mid-era Silver Surfer stuff where they're like, get him the fuck away from the superheroes on Earth and let's just have this guy like just cruise around the galaxy and pontificate about the universe.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fucking wicked.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's not really like, obviously he's not doing that because he's a guy in a swamp. much different than surfboard in the universe.
It's at least half of his name.
But there was an element of thoughtfulness in Swamp Thing, which is bizarre, but there really was. And there is a charm and a very specific thing that I enjoy about Swamp Thing and Return of Swamp Thing and the TV series Swamp Thing. TV series Swamp Thing. All Dick Durack plays Swamp Thing in all of these things, and he's terrific.
Who does?
Dick Durack. Dick
when I need,
Durock.
When I need Durock, I use my Dick Durock. I'm sorry to the whole Durock family for what I've just done. All right, that was unnecessary. I don't know who that is. I didn't know they made a TV movie.
Series. Yeah.
And then Wes Craven did a movie, and then
Wes Craven did the first movie.
Wynorski did a movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wes Craven did the first one, and then Return of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And then the series. series didn't last long, but it has the charm. It's like almost there. It's not really, the series isn't great. The movies are really worth their time.
Yeah.
The end of the first Swamp Thing is like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Is this a sword fight?
Yeah.
I feel like I watched Swamp Thing. I don't remember it because it was a movie that I watched because it was on late night city TV. And I was like, this movie
gonna be
might
boobs?
Have tits. And I remember not liking that movie at all because you know what it doesn't have is
yeah.
tits.
Yeah, well, it has Adrienne Barbeau in it, though, and that maybe yeah. that's yeah. what made and you think you were going to see something.
She has tits.
That's true.
Yeah, the Wes Craven Swamp Thing, like, you're watching the first, like, half hour, 45 minutes, like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, not
like,
bad.
This isn't shit, you know? So what's the problem? Some of the effects are pretty cool. Swamp Thing looks neat, mm-hmm. you know? And it's got that Craven kind of look yeah. and pace to it, which is a little questionable throughout yeah. his career. But it's going fine until it goes totally fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And then it's like they spent all of the money. It was all gone. And they had to just dress up this guy in like a Halloween mask and cotton balls and make him fight Swamp Thing. It's just fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous. But it's kind of great, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the ending.
It's an
like,
entertaining little thing.
What the
thing?
Fuck is this?
Here's
it does
something
not
about
feel
me.
Like what you've been leading to.
A monster made of cotton balls?
No, I'm just, you know.
Is literally my greatest fear.
Yeah.
I'm good to know.
Yeah.
So
I watched it, but I was like, there's no dinosaur, so I'm not going to laugh and give a shit. So.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
So,
yeah. But so anyway, it's a kind of a storied background. There's a lot of areas you can pull from. Obviously, the Alan Moore run is the thing to look at. If you're unfamiliar and curious about Swamp Thing, absolutely, that's what you check out. Check out the movie, too. Both of them. And yeah, Alex Garland doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do think that this is at this point pretty hypothetical. I think it was one of those things where somebody in like an interview asked him about like what would you like to do if you were to do like anything, and he was saying I would really like to do a Swamp Thing movie
yeah.
for DC. I don't know if there's any talks, but I would really want to see that.
My God, I've been thinking about it all afternoon.
And DC needs that kind of movie where
100%.
It's like, here's the guy who will do something interesting. And...
Yeah, build your cinematic universe around that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, here, I'll piggyback with some of your other news here. We'll talk about
okay.
it at the same time. Because they need that would be the smart play.
Yeah.
Do that and let a really creative guy like that run it. Because that's going to be your Deadpool, not Michael Bay doing Lobo.
Yeah. Lobo.
Yeah. I'm not. I know there's Lobo fans and they're like passionate. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I've never gotten Lobo.
I did some reading up on Lobo because yeah. I only knew like some images of him. And I was reading that like he, you know, he's like a lot of characters that have had a bunch of different, you know, versions, but that like there was a point where nobody really liked him, and then they in the 90s tried to turn him into kind of like an ironic take on the extreme comic guy, and
yeah.
then they were just embraced by that and
yeah.
then just went on with it.
Yeah.
So I guess I saw a lot of people being like, Michael Bay, this makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of fits together. I just like, I think what they think it's going to be ain't going to be that.
Now, for people who don't give a fuck, what's Lobo?
Yeah.
Well, you tell you what, Lobo don't give a fuck.
Oh.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, I'm not a fucking expert. I tried to read a bit here and there, but I'm like, this is dumb. I don't like it. And it is. It's like, he's extreme. It's like
yeah.
disgusting chips or something.
disgusting chimps.
He's yeah. like disgusting chips.
Oh, chips or chimps?
I heard chips.
Yeah, chips.
He's like a bunch of disgusting chimps
you know
glued
what?
Together.
That's not incorrect either.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now I'm very
you know,
curious.
I'll show you a picture of
yeah,
him.
I
you're
got
gonna
one
know
up
what's
here.
Going
on.
You got a
Lobo.
Picture of Lobo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
That pretty guy, extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like if he's like if the Insane Clown Posse was a bunch of chimps.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. And it's extreme. That's
yeah.
really all you can say. He's a... He's a bounty hunter, mercenary fella thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
So
in space,
looking.
He has like some kind of funky motorcycle.
I hate what I'm looking at. So it really does fit that Michael Bay
yeah,
should.
Yeah. And I know they're like, this will be our Deadpool, man. We're gonna lean into this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
all the wrong ways.
Well,
Swamp Thing
Michael
is your
Bay
Deadpool.
Is going to inject his unique brand of humor into this.
Yeah.
Lobo will have testicles. And
huge
he's a racist.
Testicles. He's going to be very racist.
Yeah.
And he will be coke fueled.
Yeah. Yes.
Nope. Sorry. That's Michael Bay himself.
Yeah. So, Lobo.
Get into yep. it.
Yeah.
No. Swamp Thing is what you want, DC.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't fuck this up. Some guy's really throwing it out there for you. He's just lining it up. You don't even have to do anything.
Just say, okay.
Just say, go ahead and do this. Fuck.
Yeah. In delightful news, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily V. Gordon of The Big Sick and Meltdown and other stuff previously, we're all big fans. They are going to write an anthology television series called Little America, and it's an anthology series about the true stories of American immigrants. So that's awesome. I'm just really excited to see this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be... I think it's on Apple. And Apple's making a play for this stuff because they want to do Amazing Stories.
Right.
The reboot of that as well.
Didn't they just lose their showrunner?
They did.
Yeah.
Who was that? I can't remember.
I don't even know.
Yeah. But there's not even really a lot to talk about here except like, yes, give them the anthology show.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about what this is supposed to be or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put Kumail's name on anything and I'm on board.
I will take a look.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of reboots, a lot of reboot stuff here.
Okay.
Okay. Justin Lin directing a Magnum PI reboot for CBS.
It's all like 100% depends on who your Magnum is.
Yeah.
That's the only way that succeeds. And also, the thing is, the you can't only do that because we don't have people like Tom Selleck anymore.
The only answer to who can play Magnum PI is Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
So there, the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
There's nobody, that's going to make this good.
So
because and John Hillerman.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying it like this?
Yeah.
But John, how are you going to get any, like, the cast was that show.
Yeah.
It wasn't the interesting stories.
No.
Because that show didn't have interesting stories.
That's pretty good. Magnum PI holds up pretty all right.
It's a great fucking show, but only because it's about a bunch of dudes hanging out on an island who are awesome.
Yeah.
So...
of like going What's back and rewatching hour long, you know, action comedy shows from the 80s. Like the A-Team is unbearable. Yeah. Is it an hour? I think it is. Dukes of Hazzard's only half an hour, but it is a grueling shitstorm of suck.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because I loved it much
it
when I was a kid.
Fucking terrible.
All you needed to know when you were a kid was like, are the Duke boys going to make it out of this?
Yeah.
Like, that's, and then you're like, okay, I'll watch.
Yeah. And listen, you'll put it on and the theme song will go and you're going to be like, yeah, let's do this. I dare you to make it more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You will not make it 7.
I wonder how racist that show is.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, fairly, I imagine. Yeah.
Probably not
at
all.
But Magnum PI, you can. I found I was able to watch a significant amount of episodes.
Yeah,
so quite happily.
This is another in a long line of things we've talked about today of mixed, you know, news because Justin Lin, Fast and Furious, directing something like this. Okay, maybe. It says in this release the character of Higgins will be female and a disavowed former MI6 agent. In the show where I'm like, okay, like I'd watch a female led
care who the fuck you are or what you are, you're not Higgins.
Yeah. But then it says the executive producers are the showrunners for the Hawaii 5-0 reboot, and then you're like, so
yeah, this is gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bigger news, trailer news.
Yeah.
Venom.
Yeah.
Did we all watch Venom?
I've been pronouncing it Venom.
Crandall.
So embarrassed.
Did you guys watch that teaser?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Hardy.
Got teased.
As the Venom.
Yep.
Man.
Sure thing.
The Venom-man.
Yep.
Venom-man.
Yeah. It sure is a teaser.
Sure is.
Deer meat.
Yep. Looks like they made a movie.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell me anything about it.
That's one thing I'll tell you about that trailer is that there's... 90% chance that there's going to be a movie to follow it.
Yeah.
And another thing about it is Tom Hardy's accent is off-putting.
Yeah. I don't think it's that.
It's not.
Fucking
I saw people like railing on it, and I was like, yeah, it's fine.
He sounds
I don't
like
know.
He's He sounds like he's like a Mac McGay.
No, he doesn't sound like you and me doing New York guy.
Not necessarily.
Hey, I'm Venom over here.
But he sounds just this side of like he's doing a wacky voice.
Yeah.
But it, isn't that his thing? He does a voice
in
every movie.
I like his Bane voice a lot. So I'll, who knows? So it's not enough to really judge.
Yeah.
I just can't wrap my head around how they're going to do how this is going to make any fucking sense. Why will Venom look like Venom if the symbiote hasn't already bonded with Peter Parker?
Mm-hmm.
So if Peter Parker goes to space, loses the suit, gets a new suit, it's the fucking alien, it's liquid, he can, whoa, the suit's off, it's on. And then it knows him, and they know each other, but then
so
he rejects
it. That's why Venom looks like Venom. That's why Venom looks like Spider-Man, because...
Then Peter rejects the suit, and it hates him for it.
Yeah.
And Eddie Brock is a rival photographer, and Peter gets all the work and slights him and gets him fired because he's a fucking dick and he tries to doctor photos. And he hates Peter Parker so much. And the symbiote knows his hate and it bonds with him. And together, their thing is they fucking hate Spider-Man, but they know everything about it.
One thing I will say about comics sometimes.
Yeah.
The story's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a really cool story.
Yeah, man.
What a great idea.
Could this be a movie where they...
But none of this has happened.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a guy who looks like Spider-Man, but nobody's going to mention Spider-Man. Yeah.
But could this be a movie...
all of Spider-Man's powers.
Oh, my God. He looks exactly like someone.
Could they be doing a thing like they would do in comics, which could they be telling that story and be kind of picking up where those things that need to have happened and are explained in some way?
I'm assuming that it's the only thing, but I'm like, well, that's a real jump ahead, and you're blowing a huge opportunity.
Like,
I mean...
But it's Sony, right? So they can't really do... They do still have Spider-Man, don't they? Like, where are the rights at for Spider-Man?
Well, they share it with Marvel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you just wait a little bit...
Yeah.
This is a huge... This is a two-parter movie. You can have something fucking amazing, right? And because you like if you, in the comics, when Spider-Man gets the black suit that's the symbiote, he wears it for a long time, where that's just his suit.
Yeah.
And you don't really think
anything of it.
Think
it probably stinks in there.
Probably not.
He never cleaned it.
Like you don't think like, oh, maybe there's something bad here. Like for like quite a fucking while, that's the deal. And then it slowly is becoming a problem and he can't figure out how to, you know, change from it. Mm-hmm. So there's a long setup for it where then you just get like this awesome extra element to him with this suit that was kind of cool for a while. So yeah, the build is really part of the whole fucking thing. It's the same thing with the X-Men shit. Coming up here, a Dark Phoenix movie they're going to throw at us. You can't do it in one movie.
Yeah.
Brett Ratner already figured that out. Yeah, he is Brett Ratner. I get it. But still, you can't. You cannot. Too big. It is the biggest, 100% without question, the biggest X-Men story there is. And you can't just like, hey, whoop, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they don't get it. They're gonna. I mean, the only reason that I'm like interested at all is because Tom Hardy is playing Venom.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm like, you're fucking.
Who's
this
the director? Anybody?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, it is
somebody.
I'm kind of like, based on the teaser, I'm excited for another trailer because I think I'm down for a movie with the tone that they're selling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where the internet was like, oh, what's going on with this teaser? Didn't tell me anything. And I'm like, yeah, like it teased the tone and maybe that'll be cool and we'll see. It's from the director of Zombieland, 30 Minutes or Less and Gangster Squad.
Okay.
Well, which makes me think.
Did you guys see Gangster Squad?
That's a little bit.
That's a good movie.
From the tone of your voice, you sound not sarcastic.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get into some things we've been watching?
Okay.
Sure.
Casey?
What?
What have you been watching?
Oh, Jesus H. Balls. Well, I got to tell you something. What have I been watching? Jesus.
Do you want me to jump in first?
Real quick? Help, Dan.
So... Really quick.
Really?
I've been watching one of those.
Quicker.
I've been watching one of those things that you watch all the time.
That's not quicker, Dan. That's just louder and with more.
It was a little quicker. It was about 0.5 quicker. I have been watching on Netflix. This is my kind of, I don't know what to watch. I'm going to put it on pick.
Okay.
There's a TV show on Netflix called Monkey Life. And it is a animal.
Wow.
It is a.
Yeah.
It's like an animal documentary series about a British monkey sanctuary and all of the going-ons in the sanctuary. So
it's
a
sanctuary for British monkeys.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So like in Britain, there is some really, really horrible stuff that goes on in the pet trade. And so they save a lot of these monkeys from like households that are not taking care of them properly. And then they also have like orangutans and stuff. And the show is just like, you know, you get to know the monkeys and their names, and there's the different strain, like there's orangutans, there's chimps, there's marsupials, there's all these different, chimps, and it's amazing. And it's just so easy to watch and so delightful and also heartbreaking. Because some of them are really sick and some of them die and some of them get better, and it is, I love it so much.
The ones that you, ones that you wanted to die.
Yeah, the ones that I want to die always die. So that's great. No, like there are some episodes maybe really mad where you like these, they go to the houses where like some fucking British piece of shit has like a raccoon in like a cage covered in shit with
racism
these monkeys.
Against British people is still racism.
The guy was British and was a piece of shit and had all these animals in his house just like with the they had broken jaws. There was shit everywhere. And you're like, fuck you for putting these animals through this. And then you get to see them go to these sanctuaries where there's, you know, trees for them to climb and food and other animals for them to have like relationships. And you get into the relationships of these monkeys. It's great. It's just so good for that, like, oh, I'll watch two of these tonight because it's like I'll see some cute animals and it'll be great. yeah, it's Monkey Life on Netflix. Me and Emma are addicted to it. My friend Alex told me about it. I told it like Taylor and all, we're all like into it. Yeah. It's great. Wow. It's good. If you're looking for that kind of like easy watch, like charming, cute thing, watch that. Although there is
if you love monkeys and fucking hate those
British
greasy
people.
Brits.
Yeah. Just that one. There is some gnarly stuff in it though. They showed a C-section of one of, and it was just like I lost my shit. It was like, this is some H.R. Giger shit.
Wow.
Oh my.
Yeah. She's like, oh, here's like this monkey, and we didn't know she's pregnant, so we have to do like an emergency operation on her. Let's pull the baby sack out of her stomach. And I was like, good Lord, no. Yeah, so there's
they said baby sack. Yeah.
So what have you been watching, Casey?
Well, I watched something the other night that was curious.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin Button?
It was a curious case of the boring movie.
Yeah.
It was, Fred Armisen has a stand-up on Netflix called Stand Up for Drummers.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I saw the ad for this and said, nah.
Well, when you said nah, you were correct.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not...
I thought it had potential, the idea.
See, that's the thing, I don't think it does. Because basically, it's a stand-up show only for drummers.
Yeah.
Now, as a musician, it's got some fun jokes about how, like, oh, you ever notice how, you know, sometimes a guitar player will show you a song and it has way too many parts, and then he plays it and is like, yeah, that happens sometimes. And so... a lot of his jokes are, you ever notice how when you hit the drums, it goes, bak, bak, bak. Yeah, the drum does that all right.
Yeah.
So there are parts of it that are interesting. Like he shows you kits throughout the decade. So there's a kit from the 20s and then a kit from the 40s.
That seems
neat.
And
a kit from the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s. It goes into the 90s and it's like, oh man, this is all very accurate. Like, and he plays them. And he's a fucking hell of a drummer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he plays all the styles and all of the drum, the trap kits and everything. That's really, really interesting. But then he does some jokes that are like, that's not even funny to drummers. And drummers are notoriously stupid. No, I'm just kidding, drummers. And
British drummers.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on those pieces of crap. Those rhythmic pieces of crap. Yeah, it's all wrong. It's all wrong, but there's elements of it that are pretty watchable.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I just say, yeah. Just give that a skip.
To me, that history stuff sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But not in the little Netflix trailer, there was like one funny thing with him doing the impression of the fox that gets decomposed on the ground or whatever, that like stock footage thing. I thought that was kind of funny. But then the other jokes.
Him?
Yeah. And then the other jokes were like, Ringo's happy when he drums, eh? It's kind of like this. And he's just like drums and smiles. And I was like, yeah.
Every band practice that has ever happened has had someone do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And he's so funny. Like, he's Fred Armisen. He's so funny.
He's a brilliant man.
I don't, anyway.
Oh.
Nice. So that was your pick?
Yeah.
Greg, what have you been watching?
I watched a movie with my daughter.
Okay.
Called Coco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I fell asleep during that.
The new Pixar joint.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I loved it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I nearly cried a couple of times.
Awesome.
I thought it was amazing. Story was so good. It's so creative. Visually fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a spectacle.
Yeah, it's really something. And it's so creative at all these different turns. And it's just kind of leading you down. Like, you kind of feel like you should know what's going on, but you get just sort of what's going to happen, rather. And you just kind of get wrapped up in the little journey. And
yeah.
The voice performances are so fucking amazing. The songs are really good.
Oh, man.
It was so good.
Oh, man.
I loved it. And I cannot believe that Boss Baby's up for Best Picture 2 with it.
Yeah.
It's not even fucking close. Anyway, you don't have to have a little daughter to watch it with to make it extra special.
No, I'm going
to
watch it.
You saw 20 minutes of The Boss Baby and all of Coco.
Yeah.
I saw all of The Boss Baby and 20 minutes of Coco.
Yeah.
And from what I saw of each, I like Boss Baby better.
Well, you're insane.
fair point.
Yeah. Please watch all of Coco. It's so wonderful.
Myers watched the rest of it, and she said it got better, but she wasn't crazy about it either.
Really?
She said parts of it were great.
Huh. Well, I'm saying all of it was great.
And I'll watch it.
Yeah. I just adored it, and I thought about it all day after I saw it, and Zoe was glued to it the whole time.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Nice.
And, that'll really do it, too.
Yeah. Gael Garcia Bernal, Benjamin Bratt, all do fantastic work. The kid who plays the lead, Anthony Gonzalez, is just terrific. Mm-hmm. They've all got great singing voices. And again, the songs are all fucking dynamite. I just thought it was so, so great. It's just
awesome.
Yeah.
I can't
visually,
wait to watch it.
Oh, man, there's some stuff in it. Just nice. Fucking wild.
Coco.
Yeah.
I'm going to
really
watch
good
it.
And funny.
Sweet.
Enjoy a hot cup of Coco.
Yeah.
I watched, speaking of hot, Backdraft.
Yes, guy.
For the first time in its entirety, because
weird.
I spent a lot of time in the bar, and you guys would put it on at the bar on mute.
Yep.
I just caught it on television and stuff.
Yeah.
I think my dad was a fan of it, and so it was probably on at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like a real dad movie.
Oh, yeah.
But in all the stuff that I've caught of that movie, and mostly probably because I saw it on mute a lot at the bar, I did not know that any part of that movie was about a serial arsonist.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like the lives of firemen.
Yeah, sure. No, there's a mystery to
there's
solve.
There's a whole mystery to solve.
Yeah. And it's totally a movie that would be so much better if the two lead characters were not in it.
I can see that. I can see that. I liked it. I liked it
I love Backdraft. I've seen it countless times. I will watch it again. Yeah. I love Kurt Russell in it so much.
Yeah, totally. Everyone's pretty good in it.
Yeah.
And Ron Howard gets a lot of flack
for...
I
told you to say it right fucking beside me, Brian!
Yeah. Yeah.
And is his face twitchy thing?
Yeah.
Hugo Wig.
Yeah,
he plays his own dad in this movie.
Yeah, that's
get
a little
get the fuck out.
That was a little weird.
That is the mark of a quality.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a mustache, dad.
Yeah.
Oh man,
totally. I think that Ron Howard gets a bad rep, but I think
that's a fucking visually great movie.
It's good. It's a great. I mean, the effects of the like the physical effects and the practical effects of all the explosions and stuff, like, get out of here. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a little long, but when it starts to drag a little bit, you always know that, like, it won't be long before some more explosions because, like, it's just a bunch of firefighting scenes that look great. And
it, you have, like, these kind of wooden, clunky, who-gives-a-fuck performances from your leads, from your Baldwin And,
yeah.
And but look, there's such a huge support cast. Like, yeah. like Robert De Niro is in this movie, and he has some yeah. dynamite scenes with
yeah,
Donald
totally.
Sutherland.
Yeah,
that all stuff that with stuff him cool. and him calling him Shadow and stuff. Those yeah. little like, you know, oh man, I love those scenes. Yeah. They're really good, and they're fairly well written too.
Totally, it's
and
a
so
really
it's like,
solid.
It's
movie.
Almost a great movie, but it's yeah. also like a really dumb movie. So it just yeah. it scratches all my
it's,
itches.
It's And it's the kind of movie that's a little bit over schmaltzy,
yeah.
in a way where that can also kind of, you know, end it for some people. But for me, it, like you, it's one of those movies that is every kind of movie in yeah. a way where like it's a total weekend movie pick.
Oh, okay.
like,
it was,
oh yeah,
it was such a go to hangover watch
yeah,
for me
yeah.
for ages.
Yeah, it's a fun little movie
right up there with Teen Wolf. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So Backdraft, solid stuff.
Oh yeah, really good. Yeah, Kurt Russell, Scott Glenn, Donald Sutherland, and De Niro yeah. are so fucking great in it.
Yeah.
And you got some J.T. Walsh in there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, J.T. Walsh.
Oh, fuck yeah. And he plays such a dick in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays a hell of a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, believe me, if anybody's lights are about to go out, they're yours.
So good.
Yeah.
Casey?
What?
Anything else?
Yeah, I'll tip my hand a little bit. Listen, I did some illegal activity. By way of watching Star Wars The Last Jedi again.
Sure. I did that too.
In an illegal manner.
You could have
manner.
Just said I watched Star Wars again.
Yeah.
I really want to drive home how illegal it was. So I watched it again. In the theater at the beginning. And while I am still not on board with Canto Bite.
Yeah.
I really loved it a lot more the second time.
Yeah. I liked more of it, too. Some things that I'm still never... You know, when I don't care for the milk part with Luke. It's just so silly.
I think
silly.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And
get that look off your face.
Yeah. That weird look he gives her, like, yeah, I drank it.
I love it.
But also, then the thing he just drank from looks at her, too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. This guy's here every fucking day. Fucking kill me.
A lot
I'm just
of the time he
piss and
does not use the thermos.
I would only like that scene more if it had said, it's a living.
Yes, please. And like and I'm still kind of in the thing where I really like some of the ideas, and I really like a lot of what Luke says about the Force.
Yeah.
And I can get there with why he is the way he is now and stuff like that, but I still like feel like I'm being cheated of something. And I'm always going to feel that way, but it's just because I grew up with those movies. I watched them at, you know, turning points in my young awakening mind, and
yeah.
I have things that I think about that character, and I believe it, and I need,
yeah.
you know, I had this need to see him do or react in a different way, and I just mm-hmm. feel like I've been cheated out of a couple of key things that easily could have been there, or they could have done something with. Anyway. I don't know. There's some stuff, and I don't care about the physics things that people bitch about online. You know, there's
yeah.
no gravity in space. Why would bombers work? But I don't really care about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be explosions in space either, yeah. and there have been explosions
in
Star
every, yeah.
Wars.
It's a galaxy far, far away. You don't know how fucking shit works there.
Yeah, exactly. Dickweed,
Dick.
Shut
yeah,
up.
You been there? It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago.
In that galaxy, it's not stupid when
yeah.
Princess Leia goes flying through space.
That still looks super silly.
So dumb.
Yeah.
But it's
love
but
it.
You know what? It's fine.
Yeah,
I'll,
yeah, still don't I don't care for Prequels Land.
No. It's very trying.
Yeah.
And also listen, yes, it's very fun to put Beastie Boys names in your
right.
movies, but fucking
slow
cut
and
it
low.
Out.
Yeah,
slow and low. I think there's a Halo Neesty or something.
Halo Neesty.
Halo Neesty.
Yeah.
He's Russian or something. But fucking
anyway.
cut it out with all that.
Yeah, but yeah, with all of my what I wanted from it and the you know the expectation that I put upon the film based on what I wanted it to do. With that out of the window, and you know, it was a better watch.
Yeah,
but I'm still not crazy about it. It's I don't know. It's nowhere near the prequels. It's way better than that.
It's so much better
it's
than
just
prequels.
My least
well,
favorite of the.
It's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yes, yes.
In a way that the prequels aren't.
Yeah,
so.
But it is my least favorite to date of the ones I like.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm. Very much so.
Yeah.
But I will watch it 100 more times. I want to get back to you.
Yeah.
I'll probably fast forward some scenes.
I might get to the point where Canto Bite is cool, and I'm like into it.
Yeah,
I might get to a point where that whole part where she's underneath the island, and she sees all of the reflections and everything. A point where that's not
long.
Oh my god!
Entirely
so
the most boring thing in the whole world.
So good.
But who knows?
Yeah, I'm never gonna like space horses. I think they look dumb.
That's another
dumb
fucking point. Where are tauntauns in this goddamn universe?
Yeah, those are tauntauns.
Just use fucking tauntauns. That's what I thought. When I saw the track, I was like, oh, shit, they're racing tauntauns.
Yeah.
And then they showed it, and I'm like, these fucking
fucking horses.
Yeah, let's get some greasy Brits in here to fucking break these guys' jaws. But yeah, I was so excited that I thought, I was like, oh, it's going to be tauntauns. It was not tauntauns.
Nope.
Fair.
You can't blame someone for not being a tauntaun.
Yeah. For not being some other dumb thing from these series of movies.
Dan, don't call tauntauns dumb.
I love them.
Oh, I love tauntauns. I'm a big tauntaun.
I'll say one last thing. I don't want to keep talking about Last Jedi every week, but just one thing with the I know a lot of people push back on people who don't like feel like the humor is out of place. I know there's lots of dumb jokes and bad humor throughout Star Wars from the beginning, but it's the type of humor that it is what doesn't fit for me. It's not that it isn't funny.
Yeah.
It's that it's not the kind of humor that fits. It's like when you watch Transformers for your first time, you didn't know that it was going to be a giant shit show, and and Optimus Prime went, my bad. It was ugh.
Yeah. I don't know that Poe Dameron needed to talk about that big ass door on the.
There's just things that feel off. Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, big ass is not a term that needs to be in Star Wars.
No, nor the dust off my shoulder.
Yeah.
Didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's from this galaxy, now, not different one. Yeah, long ago.
long ago, far, far away.
Right. Anyway. Done.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Greg, what else have you been watching?
I had my fucking mind blown.
Yeah.
By a goddamn movie.
Okay.
Called American Hunter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan.
That's the movie about Fred Dreyer, right?
Dan sent a list to me.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was
Like 500 movies on there?
Something like that. I can't remember who made it. It was just it was a letterboxed list of like, here's amazing
insane
movie covers.
Action movies. Yeah. And I was looking at it and I was quite humbled by it because I've seen, you know, like 14 of 500 crazy movies. And I'm like, I'm just picking one at random. So I grabbed one called American Hunter starring Christopher Mitchum.
Yeah.
Son of Robert.
Oh.
Who I believe is in a couple movies by this director.
Yes, he is. And I'm like super into checking him out now. It's directed by Arizal.
Yeah. An Indonesian action film, I believe.
Yeah. So Christopher Mitchum plays like a bounty hunter, a lethal bounty hunter, who's going to get some microfilm from some other people who want the microfilm. I tuned out like mentally like for just a moment or two a couple times in this movie, and then I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who those guys are or what we're doing here. But there's a lot of overdubbing.
Nice.
The acting is stilted and weird, and they say strange things that don't make sense. There are backflips to avoid gunshots.
Wicked.
There are so many karate chops.
Nice.
And there's a car chase where the guy driving one of the cars drives two different cars that explode in midair.
Wicked.
But he survives and gets another one, and then it explodes. Like, there's so much exploding cars.
Amazing.
It's fucking awesome.
Wicked.
I don't even know what to tell you, but this was the best cinematic experience I've had in a million years. It's better than The Last Jedi.
Awesome. And no weird milk.
This was a fucking, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll try and remember it. I'll post the link to it.
Because of your excitement, we are going to watch more movies from this director and
yes, we are.
Do a Patreon bonus.
Fucking A guy.
But this weekend, I will be watching this movie, and the date hasn't been firmed up yet, whether it will be Saturday morning or Sunday morning, but I will be watching this movie with some friends on the internet. doing a little screening thing. I'll post it in our Slack and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in seeing this crazy action movie and get up early on the weekend,
yeah,
you'll be able to watch it with me.
I
want to
see this other one they did together called Final Score. Look at this poster.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Fucking fire motorcycle man. And also, that's OMG Entertainment.
Yeah. Nice.
That's some foresight, my friend.
So American Hunter.
Yeah, American Hunter starring Christopher Mitchum, who is an unusual actor.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is he as sleepy-faced as his father?
100%. Now, picture that sleepy face just being like, and here's my backflip.
A sleepy backflip.
Yeah. Oh, man alive.
I want to... I don't want to talk about this too much because we're going pretty long, but very quickly, I watched a movie that I had never seen and was always interested in called Switchback from 1997, which stars... what do we got here? Dennis Quaid, Danny Glover, R. Lee Emery, Jared Leto was in this thing, Ted Levine. So this is directed by the guy who wrote The Fugitive and a couple other thriller movies, Jeb Stuart. It's from 1997. It's about an FBI agent, Dennis Quaid. He's like tracking down this serial killer who kidnapped his son. It takes place in kind of small town Texas. Danny Glover plays the guy who may or may not be this serial killer. And I feel like this movie has been totally overlooked. It had a very generic poster. Kind of came
this out. This is all ringing all kinds of bells.
Yeah, it came out in that time when like the kind of generic movie thriller would just pass you by. There was a million of them. But I think this movie has been totally overlooked. It has this really, really interesting kind of peculiar thing going on. It feels like a big budget version of like a regional thriller because it takes place in Texas. There's like an election going on at the beginning of the movie, and there's all these characters played by great character actors, and everybody's giving in like really solid performances. Jared Leto is a little bit of a nothing. He's like fine for Jared Leto, but he works fine enough beside Glover. I just think this movie, for that kind of thriller, there's something going on here. It's totally overlooked. It has that kind of like I don't want to say Fargo, because Fargo is obviously brilliant and this movie's not necessarily brilliant, but it has that kind of like there's a lived in quality to the characters and a very specific kind of Texas thing going on, and it makes a really great backdrop for like a weekend action thriller. And there's some great stunts at the end of this on the train.
Cool.
This is a great, like, if you like those kinds of things.
I do.
Yeah, it's a good one. Switchback from 97. It's been a little underrated, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So any other finals before we get into Film Roulette?
No.
No? Casey?
No!
No! All right, well then let's do Film Roulette, shall we?
Yes.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to see something that they have wanted to see, if it's a movie in theaters that we've been excited about, or like this week, sometimes we do winner's choice where there's, you know, not a clear winner for the week, and we get to watch whatever it is that we want. But the low roller has to see something terrible. Sometimes it's at home, sometimes it's on Netflix, often it's in the theaters, and it's this week, 50 Shades Freed. But the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. I gave these guys a Punishment album. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But first, our movies. And then we'll roll for next week's movies. So, winner's choice. Greg, you went and saw the Punishment film.
Yep.
So, Casey, you thought maybe that there would be some lineup here on the movie
front. I thought
it
was possible because I feel like this is... For some reason, I feel like this was a very anticipated movie that we all just sort of overlooked somehow, but I'm very fortunate to be able to see it.
Okay.
So I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
Because the anticipation is killing me right now. I saw Phantom Thread.
Oh, nice. See, I wanted to watch that, but I didn't. Yeah. This is on my, like, I got to see it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So Phantom Thread.
Yes.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson. This is Daniel Day-Lewis's
newest last movie.
Yeah, his latest in a line.
And he's done
of
this before,
final,
right? Athena
yeah.
was asking me, and I'm like, I think so.
Yeah.
He said, did he say Gangs of New York was his last one?
Oh,
yeah,
maybe.
Probably.
And then went a while, and then was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Can you believe that an actor is full of shit?
What?
Especially a fucking method actor. An actor.
So I just tried to put this in my phone using the swipe, and it said penguin threat.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I saw. I saw penguin threat.
It was awesome.
Oh, man. Those penguins were a threat.
Daniel
Day-Lewis scared.
Was a revelation.
Yeah. Everyone in Penguin Threat said, this is not my last movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming back for a Penguin Threat 2. Except for the penguins that were killed by a greasy Brit.
Yeah. So
why is he greasy?
I don't know.
He's greasy now.
The synopsis. In the glamour of 1950s post-war London, renowned dressmaker Reynolds Woodscock and his sister Cyril are at the center of British fashion. Women come and go through his life, providing the confirmed bachelor with inspiration and companionship until he comes across a young, strong-willed woman, Alma, who becomes a fixture in his life as his muse and lover. Once controlled and planned, he finds his carefully tailored life disrupted by love. 4.2 on Letterboxd right now on average. Yeah. So, Casey, dive in.
Okay.
What kind of movie is this? Because I feel like the trailer didn't really give away, and I feel like he's the kind of filmmaker where you never really know based on trailers. Like, is that going to be the movie? Or, yeah.
Well, you know how there's like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
Yeah.
This is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. this PT is also F&A. The kind of movie that is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
From last year.
Nice.
This came out last year.
I don't know. I think so. Late, or I think it might be this year.
Well, either way, last year, actually, this year, right. I don't give a fuck. This movie is my favorite.
Nice.
It's so much more complicated. Like, to say that his life is disrupted by love is interesting because... I really wish that somebody had watched it. I was really hoping that somebody else had watched it.
It's 2017, by the way, as well.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's Ever's Best Picture and all that junk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh my goodness, this movie is fucking phenomenal. Daniel Day-Lewis is just he should retire after this.
Yeah.
Because it will not get better. It's, you know what would be really, really interesting and is a comparative study between this and Mother. Mother! Mother! because it's very interesting. It plays like a lot of themes of like, you know, the self-involved artist and where his inspiration comes from and how many people he must trample in order to maintain his inspiration. But where Mother was just an absolute fucking farce. This movie does that so fucking gracefully. Uh-huh. And is so captivating in its like space. There's so much space in this movie, and every line is so full of something terrifying and human. I don't know. I'm fucking sounding gross when I talk about this.
Reviewing it.
I guess that's why I feel like it's gross, because you just really have to see this movie. Like, it's kind of about men, and in a lot of ways, it's kind of like... it's another movie about fucking rich white man, a rich white man who is so stuck so far up his own butthole. And the women in this movie are very much, all of the women in this movie are there to facilitate his needs. The lady who plays Alma, Vicky something, and then Leslie Manville, I think her name is, something like that, who plays his sister Cyril, are fucking phenomenal. But everybody exists to facilitate his genius. And it's a very dark movie, and it says some strange things about the relationship between men and women, and masculinity And it's interesting, this the sort of male posturing that happens with, you know, the fashion world, or against the backdrop of the life of a dressmaker. It's very, very interesting. And the power he has over women, and the power he wields over women, in that he dresses them and it is his choice to make them look beautiful. It's fucking wildly captivating. And I absolutely love this movie.
That's nice. Great. I was really, I hadn't heard anything about it really from, well, not, you know, nothing other than what's written all over the poster. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's really,
yeah.
Exciting.
And again, it like, it has that kind of like poster and ad campaign where I wasn't really sure what kind of movie it was going to be. Like, the poster is so boring. It's just like his face and she's standing there, but there are these like painted versions.
Like, is this a switchback or something?
Yeah, what? But there were these other versions that you can see online that were painted. I can't remember the guy who did them, but that like look almost like the kind of, you know, fashion illustrations of that era.
Yeah.
And they're fucking gorgeous and probably give you a bit more of an idea of like the tone and time of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm really excited to see this.
Oh my god, it's fucking amazing. I don't know. It's so it seems so trite to go, guys, this movie's fucking amazing. but it's yeah, it's really, 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 really an achievement.
Yeah,
yeah. I love Paul Thomas Anderson more and more. And it makes me want to go back and watch The Master, because that movie I didn't care that much for.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, but it was a movie that I watched and then never watched again.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
very much a like, I saw it in the big screen as big as I could. I think they were doing the 70mm thing, and I was like, wow, what an amazing movie. And then I walked out and never watched it again. It was like, that was an experience. It sounds like maybe this is a little bit more, I don't know.
It's
I hear it's his most mainstream movie in a long time, in the, like in a tasteful way.
What, Phantom Thread?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I guess
or
it
like
is.
Or like accessible anyway.
I guess it is.
All right.
I don't find it any more accessible than There Will Be Blood.
I
although in this movie, weirdly, he does club Paul Dano to death at the end of it. So who even knows?
I kind of feel like anything after Inherent Vice is going to more
okay,
like
so
it's about two people, and now there's drama of some sort.
Yeah.
It's not just like, what the fuck?
I mean, it is his most mainstream movie since Inherent Vice, but.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's I guess it is kind of mainstream, but again, it just feels. I don't know what to say. Just,
yeah,
you have to see it.
Nice,
it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
wicked.
Hey, get out of my. Oh,
what? What?
Well, there's a spider ended up in my coffee.
Oh, no. Really?
And now I'm trying not to kill him. No, get out.
Just drink them.
Cling
protein.
To the wall. Cling to the wall.
This is a weird time of year for spiders to be running around. What kind is it? Let me see.
Yeah, is it a daddy long legs?
No, it's a black widow. Oh, I think he's dead.
Well,
I'm sorry, buddy.
I will call
mean...
John Goodman.
Yeah.
And he will come and help us out here.
He will fumigate my coffee?
Yeah. Well... You
no, drink
watched,
him and gain his powers.
Yeah.
I, too, can dwell within your basement.
Yeah. So you watched Phantom Thread. Mm-hmm. And
I remember. I just talked about it, Dave.
Remind me all about it.
Okay, let me tell you. It's terrible.
Yeah. I had picked a movie that I was going to do for Film Roulette called My Friend Dahmer.
Oh, shit. Oh. I almost watched that, but then there's no time for me to watch
which I
that.
Quite liked. But then I saw a movie this week that now I feel like I cannot not talk about today. And we were gonna talk about it on a bonus Patreon because it hasn't come out yet, but I think I'm gonna do it now for Film Roulette.
Mm-hmm.
The new film from Alex Garland, Annihilation,
yeah,
played in Toronto at TIFF Bell Lightbox, and I was able to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
When Ex Machina played before it opened, they did a similar thing where he did a Q&A, and Emma and I went and saw that, and so I thought, like, oh, this will, we'll do it again and we'll see his next movie and we'll get tickets to this like special engagement or whatever where he speaks afterwards. So it was kind of a fun thing to do that again for his next movie. But this is based off of a book of the same name. It's the first in a series of books. And let me get the information here about the movie. This is almost a reunion of sorts with Oscar Isaac, because this is he's in this movie as well, and he was in Ex Machina. But we all really fell for Ex Machina.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
big
that's
time.
A fucking great movie
for a debut movie. You know, unreal. He's a longtime screenwriter.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Really wrote some nice screenplays.
Yeah,
really good.
So. This stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, Oscar Isaac, and more. And it is about a biologist who signs up for a dangerous secret exposition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply. So this is going to be interesting to try and talk about, especially in contrast with Ex Machina, which is such a specific kind of movie and such a powerful debut that I can't help but feel like people are going to come away from Annihilation with mixed-ish feelings or slightly
right.
disappointed, because it's so hard to follow up something that was so distilled. You know what I mean? Like, that's like Alex Garland was like, now watch me do everything that I do so well and perfectly, and it has this cold tone.
Ex Machina, yeah. It's fucking laser focused.
Yeah, it's so focused and so...
It's got the laser focus of a sexy robot.
The laser focus of a laser wall mount thing that I use to make sure things are straight on my wall. Focused. by lasers.
Yep.
So it's hard for me to talk about this because I do feel like... In some ways, this is, again, much like The Phantom Thread, a bit more mainstream. It's like I found that if you were to show Ex Machina to somebody that wasn't necessarily into kind of like, not hard sci-fi, but that kind of like cold, deliberate, slow, very specific type of movie, you know, like my parents watched that and they were like, that was the biggest piece of garbage. Like, you know,
yeah.
I feel like Annihilation almost takes a step back into like, here's a movie that is a little bit more, you know, engaging for a stretch. Like, it's about Natalie Portman, and Oscar Isaac plays this military guy who goes on missions and he can't tell her anything about it. And he goes on one and never comes back for about 12 or 13 months. And then one day shows up and is really weird when he shows up, doesn't know how he got back. And ultimately, we find that there is this thing that they call a shimmer that is kind of like a wall of this kind of shimmery looking thing. It's expanding. The center of it is a lighthouse, and they don't understand what it is or what is going on in there, because everybody that they send in never comes back. They send in drones, they send in everything, nothing comes back. So it is ultimately about Natalie Portman and a group of women who are going to go in and figure out what it is. So immediately there's a bit more of a like populist kind of thing going on, like a military expedition. There's like a thing to grab somebody that maybe Ex Machina is more of a weird movie that,
yeah.
So I almost expect maybe some people will be like, you know, this is a bit more expected. There's a lot of kind of like expected film things where it's like, oh, we gotta have to like cut back to her explaining what happened as like a framing device, because like that's, you know, you want your movie to be like understandable.
Yeah.
But I loved this movie so much, and I'm really excited to see how people react to this movie, because I do think it's going to be divisive. I think there are things that happen at the end of the movie that are going to read silly for some people and read the exact opposite, like gorgeous and amazing to other people. And I feel like I landed on that side. It is so good, and it fucked me up in a couple scenes. There are some scenes in Annihilation that will be 2018's that scene, in the way that there was, I keep saying that with fucking Gerald's game and stuff. There's two scenes in this movie that fucked me up.
Yeah.
And I was like squeezing Emma's hand so hard, being like, holy shit.
So hard that the skin came off her head.
Yeah, there's two scenes that are just so, so frightening. But at the same time, it's a gorgeous movie, and it's kind of a body horror movie in that regard, because it is such a beautiful, gorgeous movie that is also at the same time grotesque and disturbing and terrifying in moments, because the whole world that they go into is all very like organic, and there's flowers everywhere, and it's just beautiful. You want to spend more time in that world, but then because it's also kind of at moments a horror movie, you're like, holy shit, get out of here. I won't say too much more, but I really, 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 really liked it. I do think it's a little bit kind of bumpy in moments of that kind of like exposition or jumping back and forth to like her telling the story, because it's kind of like, you got to jump back there so we can learn that or whatever. Yeah, yeah. That might rub people the wrong way. I thought it was the perfect level of heady, beautiful sci-fi that he is known for, and then also like an accessible kind of genre thing, in the kind of same way that he did with like Sunshine, which was like, here's a sci-fi movie, and then people weren't super stoked that it turned into a slash movie at the end, but I was like, awesome. You know, this is like maybe a bit more of a normal movie that turns into like a really kind of beautiful, you know, you'll think of things like Kubrick or Under the Skin and stuff like that, but some people might also think of like really silly things like Mission to Mars, or, you know, like that kind of sci-fi thing can go either way. But I thought this was just so good. I can't stop thinking about it. I loved it. Annihilation is so good. I loved it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well,
very excited.
Very excited to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Apparently it's going to be on Netflix, but I think that's just internationally. And Netflix picked it up. I think they're going to do a North American theatrical release. If it does come out, please go see Annihilation. Watching it, I was like, this will not play the same way at home. There's things that happen at the end of the movie that were so overwhelming that I would be able to watch on a TV and just be like, that's silly. But like in the moment in the theater, we were right under a speaker, and the soundtrack like for the first time really kicked in, and I was like, oh Lord, this is a fucking I really liked it.
Great.
It's not...
Was it a clown?
It's a clown.
Because they can be very silly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's I wouldn't say like Ex Machina was probably like next level, like almost 5-star masterpiece.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit of a step down, but in moments I really, really, really loved it.
Sweet.
Overall, I really dug it. Yeah. So Annihilation is one that you will want to check out.
Mm-hmm. You will want.
Okay. Time for the climax.
Yeah.
Greg, you went and saw 50 Shades Freed.
I did.
I didn't know until I looked it up after last week that this was directed by the guy that did At Close Range.
Weird.
And he's done a bunch of other kind of like pseudo erotic thrillers.
Oh yeah.
Let me see. It's that's 50 Shades of Grey. What's his name?
James Foley.
James Foley. Yeah, he's done.
James Foley. He directed Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And
wow.
And he did Fear.
Yeah.
And he did At Close Range. But then he also did what was it? What was the one I was thinking of? Perfect Stranger, which was like the kind
the
of erotic thriller.
Movie. The erotic thriller starring
with Halle Berry and Bruce Willis.
And Marklin Baker.
Wow.
And like some other kind of like not as, you know, well-respected movies. Right. So he's had an interesting career. But I love At Close Range. What's he doing here?
And Glengarry Glen Ross, that's
so good.
Amazing.
So don't miss the climax.
I didn't miss the climax. I was there for it.
Believing they have left behind shadowy figures from their past, newlyweds Christian and Anna fully embrace their connection and shared life of luxury. But as she steps into her role as Miss Gray and he relaxes into unfamiliar stability, new threats could jeopardize their happy ending.
That's
or
right.
climax
and
before
if,
it begins.
If the commercials are to be believed, one of those threats is a gun!
Yeah.
So I saw the second one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember it. I mean, all I remember is she's like, hey, you, this stuff is too weird. You're weirding me out with all the weird sex stuff. And he was like, I can totally change. Now here, put these beads in your butt and let's go to this let's go to this party.
Did I tell you that I love Chronicles of Riddick?
Yeah. Anyway, so now they're married.
Yeah.
They're Mr. and Mrs. Gray.
Mr. and Mrs. Beads up the butt.
And this movie is, it's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Because, and I kind of feel like this is why I don't remember the second one as well. This movie is like, it every 10 minutes disregards the previous 10 minutes. Like, nothing feels connected. It's just a series of scenes. And their reactions, like, everything is like, it's like they just met in some weird situation, and they're like, holy crap, let's fuck. Well, were we just in a car chase? Let's fuck. Did we just buy groceries? Let's fuck. Also, you could...
Holy fuck, let's fuck.
You could... remove all of the sex from this movie, and it would be the same story.
Nice.
The sex has nothing to do with anything in it. They just fuck all the time, and it's gross.
So you're saying that at no point do they have to fuck to stop the bomb from going off? Or,
that's what this movie needs.
And
there's no more, like, the sex doesn't have anything to do with anything anymore.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's about something before, like, or at least about power or consent to a degree, but that goes out the fucking window in the second movie.
Yeah.
Second movie just says nope to the end of the first movie. And so now it's just like these guys like to fuck and have adventures. So they're married and he's like, he still wants to be all like weird and secretive, and she's like, you just want to put things in my butt. Uh-huh. And
listen, I got a lot of secrets and I need somewhere to put them.
You just want me for my butt.
You just want to keep every secret in my butt.
Oh, man. And now she's married and they're super rich. And she goes back to work and finds out that she has been promoted to editor-in-chief.
All right.
All right. And she's like, and he comes in, he's like, well, you know, it had nothing to do with getting married to me. And I'm pretty sure he owns the company. And also, why would she get promoted? Well, she was on like a 2-month honeymoon. Came back and like, you've been promoted.
Surprise.
For your hard work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Didn't he? I feel like, because I didn't see the last one, but I did listen to a podcast about it.
Yeah.
And didn't he buy the company for her?
Yes,
kind of
to fire her creepy boss guy, right? Something like that. And he's like in jail, but he's going to get out.
Yeah.
So there's that guy.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, I don't know what goes on. They have trust issues, but then they fuck. There's the paparazzi chasing them, so they fuck. Mm-hmm. I think they go to a dinner party, so
and they
fuck.
They didn't like the soup, so they fuck.
Yeah. It's breakfast, so they fuck. And then she gets pregnant. With a baby.
I don't understand how that could
happen. And early in the movie, she's like, do you want to have a baby someday? He's like, yeah. I mean, not yet. I'm not ready to share you.
Yeah.
And anyway, then she gets pregnant and he gets
mad. And she's like, did you put a baby up my butt? Because.
Yeah. And she's like, really? Like, no, like, I didn't intend for this to happen, but. And he gets mad at her, too. He's like, stupid.
Oh, my God.
Whatever, you know.
That's what I said both times to Myers.
Stupid.
Stupid. And, oh, stupid.
And then she's like, I'm having this baby. Like, you know, she wants to have, like, and who can blame her? She's in this situation where like, well, here's this, like, weirdly cold, secretive man who treats me like shit but loves to put things in my ass. He will be a terrific father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the signs are there that this guy is ready to raise a baby. Yeah. So that's going on. And then the evil boss guy gets out of jail and kidnaps her best friend and calls her and is like, you give me $5 million in 2 hours or I'm going to kill
so
Gia
it's the
or
boss.
Whatever.
That's like the threat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and then so
is it
she,
the boss baby? By any chance?
You give
that
me
would be better.
$1 million.
Yeah.
I'm a baby.
Your baby was from New York.
Yeah.
You give me $1 million. Oh, my God. It's like I'm a baby or something.
Hey, it's my day out.
I'm on a skyscraper or something. That's not it's a dangerous place for a baby, sweet.
So he's like, give me the money. And she goes to the bank and she's like, I need this money. And they're like, we have to call your husband. And she's like, give her the money. So they give her the money and she's going to take it. She does something that brings the police to where she's going. And
she
then
has
they get
sex
the
with
guy.
The bank.
Yeah. She puts the bank in her butt. And yeah, then they get him. And there's no, I mean, there's no tension. And you don't really feel like anything's ever. Because all of this happens in the last like 12 minutes of the movie.
So the rest of them is just
the whole like there's no like big lead up like oh here he's fucking with their lives not at all. He is in jail.
He just shows
for the whole
up
movie.
And then they catch
he gets
him.
Out of jail and he's like, I got your friend.
Give me $1 million.
Put something in her butt.
Has the friend at least expressed a distaste for being kidnapped earlier?
Well,
to
she
set
just
this
got
up?
Married to her husband's brother.
She got married.
She got married to
her
the lead character's husband's brother.
She married
Ray's brother.
Okay,
she married him. So she's very happy. And didn't expect to get kidnapped after getting married.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't.
No.
So that was way out of left field for her.
Yeah,
she was
what
like,
a bummer.
What?
Yeah. And then they solved that, and they're like, whoa, thank God we did this.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. There's other tension in the movie where they go to this, like, mansion that he buys for her, but the decorator lady is kind of flirty with them, and then she's like, no. And then she stops it.
She punches the decorator, and then Gray is like, it's just the tree decorator.
You know when they want to have a scene in a movie? Like
she's like, break my hands.
You know, all through the 80s, some of the 90s, you have some scene where somebody's being like kind of questionable, and your lead star person like just fucking takes them down, man.
Yeah.
They go for that with this, but it's just like the most empty, non-threatening, no charisma fucking, it was horrible. She's like, don't you look at my husband and you call me Mrs. Gray or something. So I can
don't look
guy.
At my husband, please.
And she's like, okay, sorry. And that's a conflict resolved.
Nice.
And then the end of the movie is like fast forward to a year later or something like that, and they've got a baby that they're walking through a park with and she's pregnant too. They're gonna have more babies. Put them up their butts. I don't know what's going to happen,
oh,
but
boy.
Thank God
that
it's the end
not
of this
good
franchise.
Parenting.
No! Yeah. This is the worst. It's but, I mean, they're like a fever dream. They're so insane. They don't make any sense. They are, I have to give them credit for being so bizarre.
Yeah.
Because they do not feel like movies. They don't operate like movies. They don't follow the pacing or acting or scripting. All of it is really weird the entire time.
Sweet.
I don't know if the first one's like that. I've only seen these two.
Yeah.
But they were weird movies. They were really, really weird.
Yeah,
and
well,
sex
credit.
Shows up, and it is not sexy sex.
Well, there you go. Fifty Shades Freed.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like you should watch one someday,
I might.
Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be. I would watch one.
Yeah,
I would watch one of these two that he did, I feel like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They're very bizarre.
Yeah, because the first one you don't need to see. It's boring as hell.
Yeah.
Well, those were our movies this week.
Right.
Speaking of things you need, you definitely
needed
my punishment album, which is Prophets of Rage.
Yes.
The super group of seminal bands and hip-hop acts back again to take a bite out of Trump or something.
Yeah.
And I gave this to you guys because...
Wait.
What?
I might have listened to the wrong record.
What? What did you listen to?
Do they only have one record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then I listened to the right one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Prophet's Rage.
But you said they're back again.
Like, they're all, they were all in other bands, and now they're all back again.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Because all of their other bands were political. Just like them as musical beings are back again, right. But now together. Sorry. Right. Yeah, I gave this to you guys because I feel like we are all...
Why not watch all the people you like suck?
Yeah, we are all fans of some of their stuff that they've done. Some of them were in some very seminal bands. Yeah.
All of them,
yeah. And all bands that have some great work.
Yes.
And so I wanted to know what it was like to see all these people that had done some great stuff just not do great stuff anymore. Well, or maybe it was wonderful.
What it is big and clunky and clumsy.
Yeah.
And it's like... What if the Judgment Night soundtrack just sucked?
Lord knows I love some Judgment Night soundtrack.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
I did not kind of like this album. All right? It's important that you know that I did not have a lot of fun listening to it in the car when I put it on a bunch of times.
Yeah. Wow. What?
Yeah. listen. This album,
I think the intention is great, but like it's...
This album is a fucking idiot. But if you like Rage Against the Machine, and mm-hmm. God help me, I do.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Their first album and Evil Empire are... And Battle
of Los Angeles
of
is,
Los Angeles
a, terrific
is a lot more fun than it should be.
Yeah.
And if you love Public Enemy, and if you love Cypress Hill...
Yeah.
This album has all those things.
Yeah.
Like, this album has every one of those things. And you kind of go, yeah, remember that? Remember that? Yeah. Now they're doing that. Oh, there's Tom Morello. Yeah, and it really is like, greed is bad, and everything is bad, and some stuff. And I said, fuck, just now. I don't know. It's fun. It has some. It has some big dumb Tom Morello riffs that are fucking great.
Well,
there's a song called "Hands Up" or something.
Yeah,
where hands there's a riff in it that's fucking
hands
dope.
Up or something.
Yeah, he goes hands up or something. Let's fight the I don't know power. But
there's these lots of guys and they like money and I don't like them.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's up with you guys? Fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's something about this album that I was like, you know what it is that everybody's trying.
Yeah.
They are.
It's not a cash grab. I mean, it is a cash grab.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel tired or bored or anything. Everybody's really putting
their
all into
it. No, it doesn't feel any of those. It just doesn't land. It's like, I like all three of these things, but like, I like swimming and lasagna and reading comic books, but not all together.
You tried?
I will this weekend. what is also is funny is before Audio Slave happened, when Rage was looking like it was over, the big two rumors were going to be that the replacement for Zach De La Rocha would be Chuck D or Be Real.
Yeah.
And I guess they were like, why not?
Yeah, put those hands together. And listen, everybody's really trying to do a Zach De La Rocha thing in this.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of repeating phrases that did not bear repeating.
No. It's the it just doesn't work.
No.
And that's a bummer.
Be Real seems lost.
Yeah.
He seems to not exactly know what's going on.
Yeah, listen, I love Cypress Hill, but I mean let's be real here. There's only two records.
Yeah.
The first two.
Yeah.
Temples of Boom, like, and then no one cares after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Rockstar, please.
Yeah.
Oh
God.
Yeah, really bad. It is a bummer because some of the later period Public Enemy stuff and their sort of resurgence of recording and getting, you know, proper tours together where people go again is awesome. And there's a couple of records that are really good there and that still works. So Chuck D still fits that and it just doesn't fit here. And it also bums me out because I think the band of Rage Against the Machine, I think they're a wonderful unit that is a fucking terrific and very clever bass player.
Yeah.
And when they were going to become Audio Slave, even though that name's really dumb, I was really kind of like curious because
what's it gonna
be
like?
What they'd become as a unit on Battle of Los Angeles. I was like, there's some really cool ideas going on here. What would they sound like without De La Rocha, and I have no problem with him, but they're going to move on. So let's what's that going to be?
With a really powerful singer.
Yeah, like, but it was just a very radio-y thing. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah, that was a big bummer.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like, oh, and like an interesting. You know,
it was just too safe. Yeah.
It was
right?
just boring.
And then so then that throws them into, well, we're just like a legacy act with De La Rocha now, no music, and then this, and it's just kind of, it's a bummer. I feel like we really lost a bunch of opportunity of some very terrific musicians to maybe make some more subversive and interesting, timeless music, you know?
I don't think that this record was ever going to be anything that it wanted to be. I don't think that this album sounds like it's desperate to be a revolution, but it does not want to discuss any specific politics. But it has all of the elements from all of the, you know, I guess now that I think about it, because Chuck D's fun, but he and B Real are both really kind of trying to do a Zach De La Rocha thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, this has a lot of cool riffs on it that I'd be like, oh, that would have been fun in a Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I had fun listening to this.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
I'm happy for you.
They seem concerned about drones.
Yeah, man,
they
you got to watch out.
They're concerned about drones.
Watch out for those drones.
Guys.
Right.
Yeah. Greg?
Yeah,
what are
up,
you
going
to punish us with?
Man, you know, I have a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make choices.
Yeah.
I want to make the right ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a really topical thing to do.
Okay.
But then there's also been this thing I've been like looking at for a while. I'm like, that's going to be great because let's just do that.
Okay.
I don't know how interesting the conversation will be, honestly.
Yeah.
But I was going to give you the new Timberlake album.
Yeah.
Because everyone hates it so much.
Yeah. It's apparently pretty boring.
Yeah.
I've heard a couple songs from it.
Yeah.
Because they're on the radio.
Right.
I like them absolutely as much as I've liked any other Justin Timberlake song, which is to say, not that much.
I have a weird soft spot for a few of them.
I don't dislike the new songs either, but I don't like them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, oh man, this is some visionary shit.
Yeah. So, anyway, you guys don't like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
No.
No. But what will you think about a band that thinks no one's ever heard of Zeppelin before?
Uh-huh.
There's this band called Greta Van Fleet.
What?
Yeah. And they have this song I hear on the radio called Safari Song. And it's not like just a little bit like Zeppelin. It's like a Zeppelin tribute band decided to record a single.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. They have this album. It's called From the Fires.
Oh, great.
And they're this group of kids who think that I don't know how this is legal. Like, I remember when Tom Waits sued Doritos for, you know, using his kind of like thing for a commercial.
Yeah.
Or when the record company tried to sue John Fogerty for sounding too much like CCR.
Like John Fogerty.
And you were sounding too much. If you're making money or what off of someone else's artistic property in whatever way, if you're mimicking them, like, I mean, it is just, this kid's like, it's not just like he's doing one of the types of voices that Robert Plant uses when he sings, because he has a couple things, right?
Yeah.
That are very Robert Plant, that are very identifiable, and this guy does them all, and it's like, it's fucking weirding me out. Anyway, so listen to Greta Van Fleet, From the Fires. The only song I know is the first track, Safari Song, and it is like, holy shit, this can't be legal.
Yeah.
Anyway, do that.
Okay.
Maybe you'll like,
well, I'm looking
a
at
band
a picture
that's pretending
of them
to be Zeppelin.
I'm looking at a picture of them, and they sure do look like a bunch of assholes.
Well, it's such a good band name.
Yeah.
There yeah, no, I well, you know what? I'm not going to hate them based on a picture of them. I will wait to hear their
album
before I start hating them.
Yep.
So do we know what we're doing for the role?
Well, we know what the winner is.
The winner is
the loser.
Okay, so the winner is obviously going to be Black Panther. This is supposedly going to be fantastic. The early word is that this is one of the best Marvel movies.
People are really flipping out.
I'll wait until I see a score on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, very exciting.
Yeah.
The loser film will be a superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
This is a film from 1998.
Yeah.
Called Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Starring David Hasselhoff.
Starring David Hasselhoff
as Samuel L. Jackson.
A TV movie for Marvel Comics.
Very good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be great if nothing came of it.
That's right.
Greg's rolling.
I'm rolling.
That's a one.
Fucking what
good
in the
Lord.
Fuck, man? Oh,
that's a four.
Why can't I just see the fucking comic book movie?
I don't
even want to do this anymore.
That's a three.
Great.
Greg is...
Fuck you guys.
Oh, it's like fate almost. Like, they're like, the die does not want you to ever see a
God, I
new
hate this shit.
Marvel movie.
Ugh.
Unless it's not important.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, oh, maybe Ant-Man will be
good.
Thor,
the
okay.
Dark World.
Yeah,
have
let's
a great
go
time.
See it. Yeah.
Fuck me. What the fuck?
Oh, brutality.
Fine. Can we just finish this episode?
Yes. Next week, we will be talking about Black Panther, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We will review that album by the Led Zeppelin wannabes. You can find us online.
If you want to be Led Zeppelin, you got to get with my friends.
Be with my friends. Find us online, SYNWPC, on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you think. Email us your thoughts and feelings and feedback at info@modernsuperior.com. And go to modernsuperior.com, listen to all the podcasts there, and donate and get access to the Slack and bonus content. It will be worth your time, we promise. As always, goodbye, Internet. We will see you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday.
You got to hide things in butts.
Hide things in your butt.
Hide things in your butt.
Just put it in your butt.
Gross.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.